Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Xfinity XFi is more than just fast. It's internet that gives you ultimate control. With the XFi app, you can pause the Wi-Fi at the push of a button. Can your internet do that? Learn more at Xfinity.com/XFi.
Hey, Buff. We've talked about it time and time again, but at this point, I think it's a no-brainer. I don't even think we need to say it, but we might as well. If you're going to bet the games this weekend or fights or really any sport, all of our listeners should be doing it one place, and that's my book.
I agree, because, you know, the important thing is it's not what team or sport you're betting on that's important. It's even more important to know who you're betting with, and that's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. And trust me, they are the best bet this season for your choices. They've been in business for years. They have great reviews online. Their mobile site is really easy to use. So I would only recommend a service like this to my listeners. And the reason why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie is because if you win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for guys out there that love betting on fantasy sports, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. They have all these special things on their site.
Total Wine & More announces points with a purpose. Now through September 13th, collect 5x points on wines and spirits. Points earned equals a matching donation to local charities. Up to $2 million in total. Shop with us today or visit TotalWine.com. Terms and conditions apply.
So basically, join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use the promo code BUFFER to activate the offer. That's BUFFER, all in capitals, B-U-F-F-E-R. Visit MyBookie online today. Again, that's MyBookie. That's MyBookie.com. And don't forget to use the promo code BUFFER in capitals when creating your account to claim your bonus. And why? Because if you play, you win, you get paid.
With Bruce Buffer. And now, it's time for the voice of mixed martial arts.
We are live!
It's Bruce Buffer.
Bruce Buffer.
From the shores of Malibu where the waves are pumping, to the Great Wall of China, and back to the streets of Las Vegas, Nevada, where the UFC is coming. We are live. This is It's Time Radio, the show where we talk about what you think about but may be afraid to voice. Do not worry. We will voice it for you. We talk about everything on It's Time. Politics, film, TV, UFC, sex, drugs, rock and roll, no holes barred radio. And I'm here with my co-host, TJ DeSantis. TJ, how are you?
I'm good, Buff. Finishing the year like you always say to, you want to start the new year strong. You got to finish the previous year strong. So we're on that strong grind as we head towards the new year.
Absolutely. And I've been on the road off and on for 4 weeks, as we all know, 3 different countries outside the United States, Milwaukee, Wisconsin last weekend for our last UFC Fox Fight Night show, because we will be moving to ESPN in January. Got in the gym on Monday, had a great workout. I've got 10 days to get back to myself, get my gifts, man. Take care of my family. I'm happy.
I saw the video you were shooting yesterday at Gold's. When you see the video, you don't think anything of it. Like, oh, Bruce is working out. He's a in-shape dude. He's a fit guy. And then you start saying where you'd been the last 3-4 weeks, and it's just like, I have no idea how you have energy to get out of bed, Buff, let alone get in the gym and crush it like you did.
Thanks, TJ, because I know I have to, and even if I'm dragging myself out of bed, I know once I get in the gym, it's kind of like when I used to spar or fight. You know, as soon as I get hit once,
right,
I'm ready to go. So
it's funny how that works. Like,
you
in bed, everything sounds like a terrible idea, but once you start getting going, you take a shower, you get something to eat, you're good to go. It's time to go.
Absolutely. And speaking of which, we have to start off the show with another passing, TJ.
No.
Yes, it happened this morning. It was just announced. Penny Marshall.
No.
The co-star of Laverne and Shirley, director of League of Their Own. Very talented woman. She has passed away at the age of 75 years old. People, you may know or you don't know, but believe me, you do know who Penny Marshall is. And I'll give you a little background.
Oh, yeah.
She was the co-star of Laverne and Shirley, one of the hit shows. She was known for directing some of the biggest movies around, which was Big with Tom Hanks, a very classic Christmas time kind of tune show. A League of Their Own, the show about the women's baseball teams back during the World War II period. She died peacefully, thankfully. Her family is beside her. She has done so much, and she actually, Big, the film she did with Tom Hanks, grossed over $100 million. She did another film called Jumpin' Jack Flash. I can go on and on and on. I am a big fan of Penny Marshall, and my best wishes go out to her, her family, and her loved ones. Have to mention this.
Man, I'll never forget that cardigan she used to wear with the L on the left breast.
Yeah.
Like, it was just Laverne and Shirley, again, before my time, but what an iconic series that was.
Totally iconic series, absolutely. And if you get a chance to catch it, it still holds up and is funny as heck today. So have a laugh.
You know, I just saw it on one of those airplanes in like the little entertainment sections, like the vintage television series that you can watch. And yeah, like, I mean, my son, who's 7 years old, if he doesn't know already, will probably at some point watch Laverne and Shirley because it's timeless, man.
Yeah, it is. It is. And speaking of timeless, we have a guest coming on the show who's definitely timeless.
Oh, he's a classic.
He's a classic.
He's one of a kind.
Exactly. Now, I'm going to count to you, just letting you know. Our guest coming up, the great Ray Longo, trainer of many MMA, UFC fighters, partner to Matt Serra, character and a half, has a tendency to drop an F-bomb, TJ.
Oh,
I'm going to do a little thing. I'm going to keep count.
Let me place the number, and you can be a betting man. You can say over or under, all right?
Over, under, go.
4.5.
I say 3.
3.
Yes.
That's conservative.
That's
really conservative. Yeah, I mean, I think you're taking the plus money on that one, Buff, so good luck.
Well, we'll find out. We haven't mentioned a dollar figure, but we'll find out. All right, so let's bring on Ray Longo. I can't wait for this. Always fun. And let's bring on the great, the funny, the very, very intellectual Ray Longo. Hi, Ray.
Bruce, how's it going? And I'm glad that now I can actually call TJ DeSantis my friend. What a nice guy. I never knew what a nice guy TJ was until recently.
Yeah, I've been working with him now for 10 years, and I think I discovered he was a nice guy about day one, to be honest with you.
Yeah, see, you had the foresight to recognize that this guy had potential. That's unbelievable.
That's my job, Ray. I'm supposed to see things happen before they happen, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, you know? You know how life goes. Ray, we were in Milwaukee together last Saturday night for the last UFC Fox Fight Night show, historical in its own right, considering the 7 years we've been with Fox, and now we're on our way to ESPN World in January. But I got to tell you something, man, that show, as a lot of shows over the last number of months, have really brought the action to the octagon. But let's focus on one of the key points of the show. You train and work with the Octagon Warrior, Al Iaquinta. He stepped in for his second fight against the very, very, very dangerous Kevin Lee. He came in as a 4-1 underdog, give or take, and he performed like a champion. I was just blown away and just on the edge of my seat that entire fight. Congratulations to you. Congratulations to Matt. And above all, huge congratulations to Al Iaquinta. How happy are you, Ray? You and Matt must just be ecstatic, especially after the Khabib Nurmagomedov fight that Al had.
I got to tell you, man, and thank you very much for the beautiful introduction. But, you know, Al is so close to my heart because I've had him since he was probably 17, 18, 19, something like that. But I couldn't be happier for a guy, man, because I've watched the ups and downs and the injuries and how he had to overcome that. And, you know, he was fighting, wasn't fighting. And but, man, that had the ambiance. That was a championship fight to me. Like you said, it was everything fight fans could want. Had a little adversity. Al came back, and then he started to rally. And Kevin Lee was tough enough to hang around. And then the antics at the end were right out of a Hollywood movie. I mean, I don't know. I'm blown away by his performance, as I know you are too. But I got to tell you, I couldn't be happier for a guy. Long time coming, and I hope he keeps it up.
Absolutely. And blown away is probably an understatement for what we watched on Saturday night. And you know, you look at Al. I look at a man who's been in the octagon for a long time, has been in the world of MMA fighting for a long time, who has a second job to pay the bills and beyond and save money and everything, being a realtor out there in New Jersey. You know, he's a perfect example of what it takes to make it in this game. And now with this win and where he goes from here, what is next for him? I mean, is the big money fight coming up? Is there a championship fight again that he's going to be given? What do you see, or what have you heard, or better yet, what can you tell us?
Well, I mean, what I've heard is that he will get a big fight. So I'm assuming it's either, I mean, it's probably going to be a big money fight. I know everybody's happy with him. And again, I've been saying this, I don't want to overdo it, but Sean Shelby, you know, it's almost like an inside joke with me and Sean, but he's really done a great job sticking by Al. You know, they've had problems. He's cursing out the boss. He's fighting one day. He's not. So he is a great kid. Sean recognized that, as did a lot of other people. Like, you know what I mean? And he really stuck with a kid that I think he wouldn't have if he didn't see something. And I'm just happy to see it come to fruition. And I think he deserves a big money fight. I think he was, you know, he was standing up for himself. He just really wanted to get paid what he thought was appropriate for a real unforgiving, tough sport. And look, this is a kid who, you know, he's going to have a life after fighting, which I think he's leading by example. Everybody should be doing that right now. You know, this is a short window, and if you don't make it to the top, you know, you're getting beat up for basically nothing.
Yeah, that's true in respect to that. At the same time, you're never going to get anywhere in life unless you stand up and ask for what you're worth. And that's what he did. And he came in and he fought Khabib Nurmagomedov on very short notice, helping to save that event with everything that went on at that event. Now he came in, he fought Kevin Lee, as I said, as a 4-1 underdog, reigning supreme in a fight. He did get a bonus that night. They both did, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
It's about damn time, by the way.
It is about time.
Trash one hotel room, it haunts you forever.
I got to tell you, you know, TJ, this is the first time I didn't tell him he was getting a bonus. After every one of those knockouts, I go, "Wow, you got it. Trust me, you're getting the bonus." And then he wouldn't get it, and then he'd go berserk. I think I was part to blame for that, because I would pump him up. Like, I was so guaranteed with some of those knockouts that he would get it that, like, crazy. I don't know. But look, this is a kid that, the other thing is, he always produces. He really hasn't been in a bad fight. You can't tell me he's been in one bad fight. He always comes to fight. He deserves to get paid. And he's still going to come to fight, no matter what. I mean, that's who he is.
Hey, honestly, too, what you guys have described about how sometimes Al's in the good graces of you know, the company brass, other times not so much. What you're describing is a real honest human being. Because sometimes, we're the boss's best friend. Other times, we're a pain in the ass. That's just being a human being and being someone who stands up for themselves. So that's what endears me to Al more than anything. Like, the fact that whatever comes out of his mouth, it's honest, man. For better or for worse, it's honest.
It is honest.
TJ, exactly. And I got to tell you, in an organization where you know that is not easy to do, that's the beauty of it. You know, that's why I said I got to really thank Sean, because I really think he stuck by this guy. It's just nice to see that, you know, that everything works out in the end, and you can have differences and you could argue and you could go back and forth. But at the end of the day, everybody's happy. And that to me is the moral of this story.
Well, what's that old saying? Like, if you don't have any enemies, it probably means you never stood up for anything you believe in.
Yeah, it could be. Yes. Well, and, you know, the other one that I always like is, you know, I'd rather be hated for who I am than liked for who I'm not.
Oh, that's true, man. I should get that tattooed on my forearm. That's serious business.
As long as my name is right under it, you're more than welcome.
Here's another thing I notice about Al. I look at the way people handle themselves, not just fighting in the octagon, the way they handle themselves in their interviews, the way they handle themselves outside, the way they handle themselves at the proverbial important weigh-ins, the respect factor, the class factor, the martial arts factor, the blood, sweat, and tears factor. What I've noticed in Al is that the rawness of his personality, and I say this with all respect, is getting refined, and he's handling himself in a much better way, a classier way. It's still with that edge that he carries. That's important, because that's who he is, right? And that's a refinement. And if you're involved in that refinement, if Matt's involved in that, and I think you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
So am I right or am I wrong?
No, look, even me and Matt, we might be a little wacky, or I'm sure we're perceived as a little wacky, but at the end of the day, we know the difference between right and wrong. Matt is probably the best father I've ever witnessed in my life. I mean, he's a great dude, but he is going to jump down your throat if he feels he's being wronged. You know that. And at the end of the day, he stands for something, and it goes back to what we just said. You know, I'd rather be, you know, liked for who I am than, you know, whatever. But, Al, I think what we're seeing, you got to remember this too, Bruce. Al's mother and father, they're both school teachers. His sister's an assistant DA for Queens, you know. So he comes from a great family. His uncle's a great dude. He's surrounded by good people. He knows what's going on. Like, you know, I think Joe Rogan said, you know, he's crazy. The guy said, yeah, he's wacky, but he's not crazy. Trust me, he's not crazy.
Crazy like a fox.
Yeah, he comes from good stock. You know, and I think that's what Sean saw was, he told me, because I had a conversation with him, he really liked Al's dad. And Al's dad's a quiet dude, you know. Al's driven his father crazy, too. But his father, he's a great kid. When I first got him, he was raw, trust me, with everything. And I watched this kid mature. And I think what we saw on Saturday night was really a more mature, refined Al, even in his approach to fighting, with the patience and the accuracy and just taking his time and just really putting on a beautiful performance. A lot of nuances in that stand-up that a lot of people probably don't even pick up on, but that was he picked that guy apart.
He had heart, as he always has. He had head movement, which not everyone has, and he went in there and played his game, and he played it tactically perfect, whether it's to go for the single leg or to stand up and strike with Kevin and, you know, stand toe-to-toe in a Pier 6 brawl. But it ended the way it ended.
Yeah, he mixed it up enough, Bruce, to where I think he kept that kid off balance the whole freaking night.
And he used his jab. He used his jab, Ray. You know how big I am on the jab. I love the jab.
If you want to see it, you know, ask TJ, how was Mizuki's jab that night in Oklahoma?
Oh, man. You took Mizuki, who was already a pretty solid fighter, and turned her into a title contender. I was blown away with the ability that I saw about a month ago from Mizuki.
Against the tough girl that fought in the UFC, and what amazed me about Mizuki was she was disciplined. She never lost focus in that fight. It was 15 minutes of just the same thing over and over again, which was phenomenal. And
hey,
let me
ask you in regards to female fighters, okay? In regards to female fighters, there's a fight coming up on the 28th, which we all want to watch, and it's Cyborg and Amanda Nunes. So give me your take on that fight.
I got to tell you, man, I just think Cyborg's too big. I do believe this, that Nunes has the tools to win, but she's got to be in and out, and she's got to be really, really accurate and consistent. It's a 5-round fight. Mm-hmm. She's got to be able to keep up, you know, something that I would do with her. And I think probably the speed is going to go to Nunes, and she's going to be able to keep that up. But Cyborg is big. She's been in there. She's got experience. It's going to be a great fight, I think. But, I mean, even in I think I saw the press conference picture, Cyborg looks huge next to her.
Yeah, she does. But the bottom line is they're both going to come in. They're going to weigh in, you know, within a couple pounds of each other. But then it's all about how much weight is put on in the next 24 hours. And Cyborg is definitely going to walk in bigger than Amanda. And used
yeah,
to being
yeah,
that
without a doubt. Because, I mean, Amanda's going up to 45, you know what I mean? So you got to remember, I think Cyborg has a little trouble making 45. That's a big woman, man.
Yeah, it is, and I give a lot.
Fight. You know, it's not just somebody big. That's a big woman who has experience and knows how to fight. And she's been looking really good in her last couple of fights. You know, Holly Holm's no joke. So this is a great fight. It's a great platform for Amanda Nunes. I have to pick Cyborg based on a couple of things, but Nunes definitely has the ability to win that fight, but I would love to see her utilize the jab and footwork all day long,
in and out, moving to the right side
out.
Correctly.
Yeah, she can't get into a brawl with this kid. That would be my advice.
Yeah, exactly. Maintain your distance and get that striking working. Now that's
and
the
you
co-main.
Gotta get your head moving. You know,
absolutely. You can't be standing
and
there on a pole like a Pez
Bruce,
doll.
Bruce, Kevin Lee had a 7-inch reach advantage at Al. Did it even remotely ever look like that during that fight?
Not at all, because Al closed the distance, moved side to side, back and forth, and he did everything, exactly. Which I could see your training. I saw, hey. I could see you working with him. I could see it when he was fighting.
Exactly.
I got to tell you guys, I'm sorry. The reach advantage for Kevin Lee was very evident on the tail of the tape. When I saw it on the tail of the tape, it stuck out, and then that's the only place you saw it.
It stuck out, and then it disappeared. He's gone.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, TJ, let me tell you, where it really helps Kevin Lee is when he's got you against the octagon. He can clasp those hands under your ass. That's how he gets those takedowns.
Yeah, that's where the
reach really pays off for him.
That's
when
something
he stands enough, he doesn't know how to use it. But against the cage, he really does.
That's something a lot of people really don't talk about, and I think it's undervalued, is that when people talk about that reach advantage, Ray, they always seem to think about the length of a fighter, at space and the strikes. But, man, I've seen it time and time again. If you're the taller fighter, the longer fighter, it really helps inside that clinch battle. More often than not.
No question about it. And we knew that. We knew he's good against the cage because he's physically, Al said he was very strong. And when you could clasp your hands, that guy, you're normally going down. You know what I mean? That's where it paid off for him. Standing up, he still doesn't know how to utilize his reach. And, maybe someday he will.
Hey, I got to say something, Ray. I know that you're a well-skilled martial artist. I know you're one of the best coaches in the business. You've got some ninja skills, but stealth ability is not one of them. Did you look over Bruce Buffer's shoulder to look at that card? Come on.
Wait, what was that? So what
I know, let me do this one. Ray, somebody published a video on Twitter, right? I love it. Okay, it's adorable. And maybe that's not the proper word to refer to
Ray
Longo.
Oh no, it's adorable.
It's adorable. Ray, and when I'm about to read, because I keep the card pressed against my chest because people try to look at it, you are so slick. This video came by of you passing behind me, and then you saw the card, and then you walked the other way, and your hands went in the air. Did you? And it's okay, Ray. It's okay.
No. This is good. I didn't see this, but I'm gonna correct this. I got you. Though. Keep going. Did I what? Did you
purposely walk by me to see if Al's name was there to be named as the winner? Did you try to catch a glimpse of the card?
No, I did not. No, I'm going to say really I didn't, and I'm going to say I could prove it because my eyes, I'm nearsighted, and my contacts, I'm not nowhere near seeing that. What you see, when you announce 49-46, that's when I start clapping. That's when I knew we had it, because I knew Al convincingly won 4 and 5, so I knew the other guy couldn't have had 4 rounds. So once I heard that, you see me in the background clapping, but I'd like to see that Twitter thing. That's hysterical.
Yeah, it definitely looked like you caught a peek there, but I've got the same vision problems as you, Ray, so I definitely know that
can
be an issue.
I couldn't see a thing. I could guarantee you. But
that's okay.
If it looked like that, man, let's play it up. I think it's funny. But
It's hilarious.
I told Al 100% you won that fight. I didn't even – I gave him round two also because he finished the last half of that round just chasing him around again. But – that was the pivotal round in my head. That normally I'm conservative, but I, for some reason, really thought he got that round.
No, I gave him that round. I gave him round two too, because I always keep track of my cards of the rounds, because he finished it so strong, and you got to do that to convince the judges.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Well, anyway, Ray, listen, I knew you didn't want trying to see the card. TJ, you know what it was? Ray just wanted as much camera time as possible.
Hey,
really,
that's a better analysis.
The man deserves it. I'll tell you, at the last Invicta, he was in the corner of the aforementioned Mizuki, and I loved it because for a little while it seemed like Ray wasn't saying anything, and then I look over my left shoulder and I see Ray working with a translator from someone else's corner. And now Ray is screaming and hollering in that beautiful, glorious Long Island accent. And it seems like Mizuki all of a sudden can speak English because she's doing everything that Ray says. It was awesome. I love hearing Ray Longo in the corner.
That was funny, though, TJ. Let me tell you, I grabbed that guy at the last minute. What a nice kid he was. I don't even know his name. I want to give him a shout-out. And he was so respectful. He was so happy to be in the freaking corner. I'm like, dude, you can't scream loud enough. Trust me. Nothing can go wrong. And he was a great kid, and he really saved the day for me, that kid.
Yeah, I don't know his name offhand.
If you could ever find that out.
Yeah, no, I'll find out. Yeah. He was in the corner of Liz Tracy. He trains with Liz Tracy out there in Portland at 10th Planet.
What a nice kid. Nice. Yeah. Save the day, that kid.
And that's what I love about MMA. It's such a small, tight-knit community. Like, no matter how big this sport gets, the people that make it go around, they're friends 1 second, enemies for 15 to 25 minutes others, but you know, it's a good, tight-knit group, and it was great to have you at that Invicta a month ago, Ray.
Yeah, that was awesome. I thought they did a great – I thought it was a great show. I thought they everything was handled great. I had a really, really great time.
They do a great job at Invicta. They always put on a good show. As a matter of fact, we were watching a little of it at dinner after the show on Saturday night. I was out with the producer and John Anik and people pulling out their phones to watch the Invicta show.
Nice.
Couple more questions before we let you go, Ray, because I'm sure you're busy. The holidays are here. We all got to get our shopping done. At least I do. I have to. But John Jones, Gustafson, main event coming up at UFC 232. Okay?
Yes.
I thought, to preface this, I wanted your opinion on that fight, taking into effect the 2 year of octagon rust that Jones has, not being in the octagon, give or take, for that period of time. My opinion was, and I feel that Gustafson actually eased off and eased through and won that first fight. I had Gustafson winning that before I read the decision. So, and which was one of the greatest fights we've ever had in the octagon, period.
Yeah.
What's your opinion on this fight? This is the comeback of John Jones.
This is the time to get him. And I think, like you said, I had Gustafson winning the first fight. I think that spin elbow to his head really just changed the momentum. But I still had him edging it out. Close fight, I think. Jones has trouble with taller guys. Gustafson, you know, he's got great cardio, and he can make a couple of adjustments and win that fight. So I got to go with Gustafson on that.
Interesting. TJ, what's the odds on that fight right now?
I'll pull it up here in a second, but I'm going to say this, and maybe I'm hedging my bets, but John Jones, most likely a favorite. Chris Cyborg, definitely a favorite. One of those two will fall coming up at UFC 232. Whether it's Cyborg, whether it's John Jones, I just feel it. I feel like we're going to get one of these huge upsets towards the end of the year here on that night.
Hey, listen, anybody can win on any given night in the octagon. We know that to be true. We've seen it
happen. That could happen to anybody.
Ally Aquinta's proof. Al's proof. 4-1. Tim Sylvia, Randy Couture, 8-1. Randy wins on an 8-1 underdog. Holly Holm, Ronda Rousey. Holly, 20-1 opening underdog, wins that fight. Anybody can win on any given night or day in the octagon.
You left out one guy, your buddy, Matt Serra. Come on, we got to give him a little credit. He was.
Yeah, only the biggest upset in UFC history. Yeah,
that is literally the biggest upset.
Right.
That is the biggest upset ever. And yes, I give it to Matt big time. Now let's talk about Matt.
Real quick before you get away. 2.5-1 underdog is Alexander Gustafson. So 2.5-1.
Wow.
Wow. I got to tell you, man.
That's big.
That's
big.
Crazy. I couldn't even understand Al being that big of an underdog, but I'm glad he was. But I got to tell you, that's nuts, man.
You got to take some of that Christmas money, Ray, and put it on the head of Gustafson if you're a better. Yeah.
Without a doubt.
I know it's a sign of the times and not necessarily a reflection of how he is, you know, is one of the greatest of all time, but BJ Penn, 4-1 underdog to Ryan Hall. And I understand what BJ's looked like in his last, you know, fights, but my goodness, BJ Penn at 4-1 underdog is bonkers for me to see on paper.
Right. How did he lose that fight? He gets submitted?
How does he lose that fight?
He's not getting knocked out.
No. And I think BJ's submission game is good enough to hang with Ryan Hall. I mean, he could get submitted for sure, but I mean, I don't know, 4-1 underdog, that's worth a little bit of a flyer on the Prodigy, in my opinion.
It is good enough to win the fight.
I would just bet BJ just to honor him at this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt.
Yeah, I wouldn't even care losing if he lost. I would just do it in honor of BJ because I think he's done so much for the sport. But I got to tell you, man, I can't see it being an exciting fight. But I mean, when was the last time Ryan Hall fought against Gray Maynard?
Yeah. Yep.
I remember having that argument with Kenny Florin. He's like, "Wait, but you know the jiu-jitsu." I go, "Nobody cares. And nobody wants to look at that." And I like Ryan Hall. He's a sweet kid. He's a great kid, and his jiu-jitsu was obviously off the hook. But I got to tell you, that fight was tough to watch, man.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Definitely a difficult one to watch. But
it's all going to come down to one thing, guys. The last fights that BJ has walked in the octagon is he stood there and taken punches left and right in those last two fights. He wanted to strike and do a pure six brawl all through the fight. The lactic acid builds up in his arms. He can't lift his arms in the one fight I remember very vividly. BJ has got to go back to one of his strengths, which is on the ground in his jiu-jitsu. Even though it's against Ryan Hall, it's a huge asset to his fight game and his fight knowledge. He has this love of wanting to strike.
Yeah.
So let's see how he looks when he comes out.
Bruce, if there's a guy he can get into a Pierce 6 brawl with, this is the guy.
No doubt. I mean, it's definitely going to swing towards his favor if that's the case.
Yeah.
I would love to see BJ do the combat jiu-jitsu or that submission-only type of rule set, because a lot of people love BJ and what he's done in mixed martial arts. But this guy, I mean, they call him the prodigy for a reason, and that's because he got his black belt so quickly in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I'd love to see BJ go back and show us, you know, what he has.
And TJ, at a time when you couldn't get that black belt quickly. I was there back then.
Yeah.
That was almost impossible.
Yeah, I mean, you hear about people getting a black belt in 5-6 years now, and it's impressive. But the way that BJ accelerated through the ranks, you know, in the early part of the 2000s, it was bonkers.
Look, let's face it. BJ is one of the true pioneers of MMA, true pioneers of the UFC. One of my favorite fighters of all time. I consider him my little Hawaiian brother. We're very close friends. When we see each other, you know, have the tendency to. I can't say enough about BJ.
A guy, Bruce, who's a legitimate fighter, a legitimate tough guy who's fought anybody, any place, any weight, any time. I mean, that's what I love about the guy. He don't give a fuck about nothing. He fights you. He fought Machida.
Yeah.
How is that even possible?
Yeah, Machida.
When Machida was a killer.
Yep.
He was fighting 200-pound men when he was 13 in the street. I mean, the guy has a history that people don't really realize how long of a fight game history BJ has.
Think about this.
I really love BJ, man. I think he's a great guy. I always look forward to seeing him.
Yes, he is.
I really hope he does. I wish him the best in this fight.
I do, too. His whole family's great. I mean, it's a great team.
There was a time that BJ Penn wanted to prove that he was the best lightweight in the world, and the person that he wanted to fight to get that status was Takanori Gomi. And it was clear that Gomi wasn't going to come into the UFC. So what did BJ Penn do? He got with his brother, JD. They put it on in Hawaii in their own promotion. This dude took it upon himself to make all the fights that he wanted to happen. And, I mean, again, the sport was at a different place back then, but I love the hustle, man. BJ Penn was just a phenomenal athlete, a phenomenal personality, and a phenomenal fighter that went out and hustled after it all the time.
Hey, I used to announce those Rumble in the Rocks.
Great dude, man. Really great dude.
Yeah, and they paid Buffer, so that even raises the stakes more.
And speaking about Gomi, I'll be in Japan for New Year's Eve with Suzuki. He's fighting on that Rising card with Mayweather.
Nice.
So I'm happy about that, too. So.
Yeah, what do you think about this Mayweather thing? Is he going to be allowed to be kicked in the legs in this fight,
no,
or is it strictly a box?
I don't know anything about it, but Mayweather's not stupid. So I think, what are they doing, an exhibition of some sort?
Yeah, it's an exhibition with essentially boxing rules. So.
Yeah, but it's like $3 to $5 million or something he's getting. So
sure.
Why not have an exhibition? You know, whatever. I got one more question, speaking of lightweights, before we let you go, Ray. Matt Serra's starting to look like a lightweight. What's going on? Is Matt going to come back in and start throwing some punches? What's going on?
Isn't that crazy? You know, he got up to where we were almost like 7 or 8 pounds apart. I think that scared the crap out of him. But he cut gluten out of his diet, and he's looking fantastic.
An Italian stopped eating gluten?
Yeah, TJ, trust me, ask him about it next time. He won't stop talking about it. There is gluten-free pasta now, so
he made
the adjustment, and that weight just came off just by taking gluten out of his diet.
I'm going to see him this week. I'm calling fights in Pensacola, Florida, and they're filming the looking for a fight show the same night.
Are you sure is that this week?
It is. It's Friday. Yep.
Oh, wow. I got to give him a buzz.
Yeah, remind him, please. You should be there.
And also ask Matt, too.
Yeah.
Ask Matt, too, if he can find a gluten-free stromboli, please let me know where to get it, okay?
It's in your dreams.
Yeah. It is in one of your dreams, definitely. Are you kidding?
A gluten-free stromboli. I think I might arrange that for him.
Please do, and arrange a few for me. So I'll give you the home address and ship them right out. I got a check waiting for you. No problem. Ray, listen, I want you to have a wonderful, beautiful holiday season with your family and loved ones. It's great to call you my friend. It's great to see you on the UFC campus. And what can I say? We live a wonderful life in this great sport of ours, and it's going to continue. And I just wish you all the best, Ray. You're always a pleasure to have on the show.
Awesome, buddy. And I actually ditto, too, man. It's always great seeing you. You always bring us good energy. And you're another true pioneer and good guy in the sport. So like you said, man, we're living the dream, Bruce. It's been a really good ride, and I think everything's it's just going good, and it's just good to be a part of something that we're good at. You know what I mean?
We're good at, we love, and we take great pride in. And that I agree with
that,
you.
That for damn sure.
Absolutely. Ray, have a great time. Much love to you, my friend, and your family and loved ones. And go have a wonderful Christmas and get some R&R for yourself, okay?
That's not happening for a while, but thank you for offering it. But Merry Christmas to the both of you guys. TJ, become one of my favorites, buddy.
You've always been one of mine, Ray. I appreciate the time, man. We'll talk soon.
Good guys, man. All right, guys, thanks, man. Really enjoy Christmas, and I definitely will pass that on to Matt.
Thank you, Ray. Thank you so much. Right, and Al, guys. Too. Al, too, please. Thank you.
Oh, definitely, 100%.
All right, see you, Ray.
Take it easy, guys.
There he Bye-bye. Is, Ray Longo. Truly That's one great. Of my favorite guys in the sport, man. Just always takes the time to say hello, even when he's super busy. And, you know, when he has some time, he'll always sit down for a meal or a drink and just truly – Again, like this term gets thrown around a lot, Bruce, but he is truly one of the great guys of the sport.
No, he is, and I'm actually amazed because he kept it down to only one F-bomb during the entire interview.
Yeah, 30 minutes with only one F-bomb. That's crazy.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
wow.
He's getting better. We should put this man on TV.
Now I know where Al Iaquinta is getting his his etiquette lessons from.
Yeah, maybe Al hit the quota this month already, and there wasn't any left for Ray other than one, you know?
Maybe so. All right, let's go over some news before we end the show. We're going to start off with the Idiot of the Week Award. This is crazy. I got to watch how I say this, okay?
All right.
A judge, I'm not kidding, a New York judge has just announced he's resigning. And the reason for this is because someone lodged a formal complaint that he told an attorney that he should get a hotel room and suck actor Viggo Mortensen's you know what. Okay, now you wonder how this could possibly. This is a judge.
He did this in a court of law?
Judge John W. Hallett serves as a justice at the Luray Town Court in Jefferson County. He's getting heat for a courthouse conversation he had last January with a lawyer who was promoting a film festival honoring Viggo Mortensen, who's one of my. I'm a fan of Viggo Mortensen.
Sure.
Does great work as an actor. The judge allegedly responded that the festival was, in a quote, this is the quote he said. Not for me. The festival was about the gayest thing I have ever heard. He went on to say, you and Viggo Mortensen should go get a hotel room and suck each other's blankety blank blanks. What the hell, dude? So 5 months later, the judge is talking to the same lawyer and allegedly made a gesture with his hand to his mouth to connotate oral sex, patting the attorney lightly on the cheek and said, there, little boy. So this is crazy. So the New York State Commission on Judicial Conduct, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They opened an investigation, and after they opened the investigation, the judge is now resigning under pressure before the hammer comes down. He is resigning New Year's Eve and has agreed to never accept or seek a judicial office at any time in the future. His own friggin' fault. Idiot of the Week Award.
I mean, usually when we do these stories – and it's an Idiot of the Week type story, like, you know it's going to be bad. That's not even bad. Like, it's unfathomable. Like, like if you told me that you had to, like, make up three stories and one was real, that's not the one that I would pick.
Yeah. Well, how about this one coming up?
All right.
Santa Claus, I'm sure you're taking your son to see Santa. You know, we're actually going on Wednesday with Rupert because he still truly believes in Santa, and it's a beautiful thing.
What do you mean truly believes in Santa? He's real, Bruce.
He's real.
Yeah. I hate these kids that, like, say that Santa's not real. I don't know why they lie to these kids. These kids come home from school, and their parents will be like, yeah, like, I promise you Santa's real. These kids start these slanderous rumors. It's salacious stuff.
Hey, aside from Rocky Balboa, Santa's one of my favorite characters of all time.
Right.
And he's, I got it.
And he got snowballs thrown at him in Philly. I mean, this guy's Teflon.
It was funny. I was working at my desk last night. I looked out to my right, and they always bring Santa through the neighborhood on a big, huge sleigh the size of a bus.
Wow.
And he stayed parked right outside my window for like 5 or 10 minutes with all the lights on. And I really got in the Christmas spirit last night. I called Kristen, and she's still a wonderful little girl at heart. She ran out to see Santa. It was just a really nice Christmas moment here in my neighborhood.
Man, there's something so precious about kids in Santa Claus.
I live for Christmas to watch it through their eyes. It's
even if you're a 60-year-old, some 60-year-old guy, you know, Santa Claus is still special.
You're talking to one, and you're right. So now, the organizers of a Christmas event have apologized to parents who were, they're outraged. These parents are outraged.
Yeah.
A fire alarm went off, and Santa was there with the kids. The fire alarm was so scary to Santa, or such an alarm to Santa, that he prompted him, I'm sorry, I'm laughing. He prompted him to burst out of his grotto, rip off his Santa's beard, and scream at the children to get the frig out, saying the word F-U-C-K, right?
Wow.
Wow.
I think that might have been one of Santa's helpers, you know, the guys that work at the mall and report back to Santa.
It could be.
Because, I mean, if he ripped off his beard, like, clearly not the real Santa.
Ripped off his beard in front of 50-odd kids and started shouting and swearing for all the people to leave.
I mean, I understand getting worried. You know, you want everyone to be safe, but come on, man. Like, unless there was smoke billowing out of, like, a room or something, or I don't know.
You ever see Bad Santa?
Oh, I love it. It reminds me.
I could see Bad Santa doing that. The Bad Santa thing, the way that was. It was crazy.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a great movie. Late Bernie Mac is in that one. Thornton.
What a bummer, Bernie Mac. He was so funny. He died so young.
I just watched 3000.
Yeah, 3000.
I was just going to say the same thing. Yeah. I just watched Mr. 3000 a couple months ago. I was in, I can't remember where I was, but I was in some store or some office where they were showing an old Bernie Mac film, and I got home and I was like, man, that put me in the mood. I wanted to see a Bernie Mac movie, and I started watching Ocean's 11, and I'm like, nah, I really want to get like a Bernie Mac fix. And I watched Mr. 3000, and just it's so tragic when you think about how young he was when he passed, and really was in a lot of ways just starting to hit his stride as someone that could, you know, stand alone. As you know, the whole show, and I mean, he had the Bernie Mac show. It was fantastic, but I really don't think we ever got to see how good his work could have been on the silver screen for a prolonged period of time.
I agree with you. Another incident on Southwest Airlines. They've had a couple recently, whether it's a door blowing off the plane, I think happened last year, whatever. Yeah. So Southwest flight, they were forced to turn around.
Oh no!
Because they landed at Sunday at Seattle Tacoma International Airport, right?
Uh-huh.
They had a human heart.
Oh no.
On the plane that was meant for donation.
Uh-huh.
They forgot to unload it.
No.
So they took off for Dallas. This is a life-critical cargo shipment. Somebody's waiting for a heart transplant.
Yeah.
So at least they were able to turn around and get back in time because the heart was donated for full transplant and the organ was donated only for its valves, but they got it back in time so the intended recipient could have the operation.
I don't know if you remember this, but I'm very, very pro organ donation. My father received a liver transplant in 1995. They gave him 5 years to live after receiving the transplant. He lived 15. And without someone giving life in their moment of death, I would not have had a father to see me graduate high school, let alone, you know, find myself a career, get married. He died about 2 weeks after I told him I was going to have my son. I know there's a lot of misnomers about organ donation, and a lot of people think that if you are hurt badly in an accident and you go to the hospital, that the hospital doesn't try to save your life as much as the next person because you are an organ donor, which is absolutely ridiculous. Not true at all. You know, everyone is up to their, or everyone has their own choice. I understand for some religious people, they don't want to donate their organs, and I completely get it. It is a choice, but I strongly urge everyone who is either on the fence or really hasn't thought about it to consider being an organ donor, because again, in your ultimate untimely death, you can give life, you know, to someone that, you know, needs a transplant so dearly. And you know, the people that receive those transplants, you know, sometimes they're people like my dad who, without my father, I can almost guarantee you, Bruce, I wouldn't be talking to you today. And, you know, so just please, people, think about it and, you know, make a decision.
And I agree with you. And that's a worthy, beautiful scenario of topic conversation you just made for many, many, many reasons, which I think we can all see and understand. And I got to tell you, for me, I want to be cremated. I don't want to be buried, taking up space. I've said it before on the show, spread my ashes over the ocean, the Pacific Ocean, my favorite playground in the world for my entire life.
A little pinch has got to go in that octagon at the end of fight night. Come on.
Well, that's up to the powers that be. But I'll make sure my family saves a little bile and sends it over to Zuff in Vegas. They can sprinkle it on a hot dog or put it in the octagon.
Yeah, or maybe the next time they make some metal bars for the octagon, we put a pinch in that that steel so it molds.
There you go.
You're in the octagon forever. I think that would be quite fitting for you, Buff.
There you go. So, I mean, having that frame of mind, I'm with you. I think it's a very worthy thing to do.
How long until they start shooting the hologram images so you can be the Octagon announcer forever?
You know, I don't know if they're, I mean, Dana joked about that a few years back, that he would have a hologram made of me when people were asking him if I was going to be in, this place and that place at the same time. And that was cute and everything. But you know what? In a realistic sense, not that they would do it of me, but holograms are getting so perfected.
Bruce,
now.
You can go see Tupac. Think about
that. I know.
That.
It's
they have
amazing.
Concerts with these things where I mean, I'm going to tell you, looking at it, yes, it is most definitely a hologram and you can tell. But as someone that cannot see Tupac live in concert ever, it's the next best thing, my friend. Like it is bananas.
Yeah, it's going to be developed to go into so much more than it already is. We have a lot to look forward to in the future, and that definitely is going to be one of them. And it's not that far away.
No,
it's happening now, and it's going to get refined much, much more.
I mean, I want a Bruce Buffer hologram. So when I'm 80 years old, I can say that there was the best of all time.
Oh, thanks, TJ. I appreciate it. And I want one. That's very nice of you. And I want one too. So when I'm 80 years old, it can be here in my house, introducing me into the kitchen.
Yeah.
So,
ladies
like
and gentlemen, rolling into the kitchen.
Walking slower than usual into the kitchen. Yeah, of course. All right, TJ, Fortnite's back in the news. Okay.
Never leave the news, this damn thing.
Well, it's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. But and again, much of the regret and disdain and happiness of the parents around the world.
It is what it is. It entertains a lot of people. And I mean, honestly, video games, it's like, I mean, I feel the same way about pornography and marijuana and alcohol. In moderation, like, if you can control yourself, more power to you. Some people
everything, can't. Everything in my, even too much sex is bad for the human body.
Right.
And you're hearing that from me, right? But yeah, it's true. So everything in moderation. Now, listen, the French, you remember Fresh Prince?
Oh,
right?
Of course, the
TV, okay. So Alfonso Ribeiro.
Carlton.
Carlton, right? So he wants his dance back. Okay. He's suing to stop two video game developers from selling a dance popularized by his Fresh Prince of Bel-Air character. I know it sounds a little crazy. Let me finish it. In the two lawsuits, right, he says the company's unfairly profited from using his likeness, he says, and exploiting his protective creative expression. This is a term in legality and entertainment, which does stand true in court, but it has to be proven. The suits named Fortnite developer Epic Games and Take-Two Interactive Software, who does the NBA 2K series. For using the dance. Now, if this goes through and he gets a settlement and a judge rules in his favor, this is going to set a precedent.
Yeah.
And a precedent which I, even though I'm heavily involved in the trademark world and protecting my IP and everything else, I'm a little on the fence on this one, okay? If you really wanted to make sure that dance was your dance, then maybe you should have made a little more effort.
Well,
To do it.
Do we know if it is his? Because, I mean, to me,
I don't know. He popularized it.
Right,
that's all I know.
But it may be the intellectual property of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Do you know what I mean? Like, that dance is called the Carlton. He doesn't own the Carlton character. Do you know what I mean? Like, he played the character. I have a very difficult time thinking that he has any legs to stand on because if anybody's suing, it should be the owners of that show.
I can't argue all these facts, and that's why it's got to go to court to be settled because of, the attorney now has ignited this flame. But one little thing they're going to have to fight. In the Fortnite Battle Royale game, they call the dance Fresh. They call it the Fresh Dance.
But again, not infringing on his personal rights.
I'm with you, but again, they're going to have to decide this in court. And if they set a precedent,
more power to you
to go for it.
Yeah.
Now, here's another thing.
Mm-hmm.
Another person is suing Epic Games. Okay.
Right.
And it's called the Backpack Kid. And he's suing Epic Games over, what do you think? A dance in Fortnite. There's two lawsuits against Fortnite, and he's claiming they used his dance without permission to his legal reps. And
they're going to have some sort of copyright or trademark on that dance, right? Like, I mean, Think about all the dances popularized by, you know, musicians and artists over the years. Like, I don't know if they own the dance.
I would think so, too. And I recognize this dance he does because Rupert, my 10-year-old boy, he does this dance all the time in front of me. And now I see where he gets it.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, I've got my own dance. I've got my own dance. It's named and everything. It's called the T to the J Shake.
Okay? I got to see this one.
Oh, it's not good. But, you know, it's something that I made up in high school because I couldn't dance. And, you know, people have joked about it. But, like, again, like, it's still dance moves. Like, the fact I don't know. I mean, I don't know. If it is used to market something and you trademark it or patent it, then I get it. But if it's just something that you've done, you know, once or twice, and maybe it's synonymous with you, but it's not something that you own anything of, like, very difficult, I think.
Well, we'll find out when it's all said and done. Last story of the day. I won't say it's a feel-good story, but it's a fascinating story. It's something, a subject we talk about all the time on the show, which are shark attacks, sharks. Here's a known fact. Not a known fact, a fact that I didn't know about, and I'm fascinated with sharks. Shark embryos, when they're in the womb, they actually grow teeth and start hunting in the womb. Yeah, what they eat's a little disgusting. What they do is they will grow their teeth. The embryos develop teeth at an early stage, and they use them to chomp on their mother's unfertilized eggs.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, you know, survival of the fittest.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it happens.
But only two sharks do this. They are the Mako. Three sharks. The poor beagle shark, which I'm not familiar with, although it's a hunter. But the Mako and the great white are man eaters.
Yep.
So we're talking about very, you know, predatorial sharks.
Oh, I didn't know the Mako shark would eat humans. I didn't know that.
Oh, the Mako? Yeah, Mako's dangerous, and it's one of the fastest sharks in the water.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. The Mako is, yep, don't be on your bad. Don't get on the bad side of a Mako, much less a great white or a white pointer,
as they
call them down in Australia. All right, that's a little tidbit to end the show. Wow, next week is Christmas, TJ.
I know. I don't think we're going to be on the air, right? Because I probably have to run a best of.
I think we're going to have to do a best of show. So I want to wish all our listeners all around the world, everybody, hey, gosh, Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
And you know what? Happy holidays. Whatever your choice
for
of celebration during this amazing time of year, all my best wishes go out to you and your loved ones. I've gotten a ton of orders for Christmas gifts, people ordering voiceovers and videos of championship introductions. They're giving them as Christmas gifts.
Truly one of the most unique gifts anybody can get. By the way, real quick, if our listeners are interested, shoot me an email, DeSantisMMA@gmail.com. Again, DeSantisMMA@gmail.com. If you have a request for maybe an interview you haven't heard in a while that we've done on this program, maybe we open it up to the listeners to pick the best of. We've got a fantastic archive out there, and if people remember you know, something that they haven't heard in a while, I'd love to put them on.
That'd be great. So I'll say it right now. We will probably be having an archive show, but with the schedule, with the big UFC next week and your schedule, if we can work out end of the year show and talk about the year, we will do that also. But we just need a few days to get our schedules together.
I honestly think that waiting until the new year to recap the year is probably best. I would hate to do a show next week where we, you know, classify something as the greatest of the year, and then all of a sudden 232 comes out and just destroys everything that we said. So
smart.
We'll,
I agree.
We'll figure it out.
I agree.
But again, if anybody has any interviews that they missed that they'd love to hear again, please let us know. Cause you and I mean, we've done these shows and we do we have our favorites. I hate to say it. We have our favorites. And when we do the archive show, Bruce, you and I seem to go back to the same ones over and over again, cause we love them so much.
You know, and if we put our ear to the grindstone, because we've probably forgotten more shows than we remember we did. We have so many great guests. So, yeah, we'll find a great one for next week.
Bruce,
so,
I think we're at 380 some odd episodes at this point. So
yeah, I feel like a veteran.
And think about those that we only do one episode a week. So think how many. I mean, that's truly a long, long time. We've had down times, and obviously we don't number some of the best of shows, but so many episodes we've done together, hours upon hours, Buff. It's great.
It's wonderful. And again, thank you for everything, TJ. I wish you, your family, everybody a fantastic Christmas. Enjoy it looking through your son's eyes. I'm going to enjoy it looking through my boy's eyes, my mom's eyes, my loved one's eyes. This is, along with Thanksgiving, my two favorite holidays, or my favorite holiday of the year. So ho, 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 everybody. It's time to celebrate. It's time to have a great time. TJ, Merry Christmas, my friend.
Oh, Merry Christmas to you, Bruce. Safe travels. Happy New Year. And onward and upward, my friend.
Thank you. Everybody, end the year strong to start the year strong. Be a role model to your sphere of influence. Have a wonderful Christmas. Have a wonderful holiday. Happy Hanukkah, whatever your choice and flavor is. Celebrate and enjoy. I wish to bless everybody out there. So at this point, for the last time this year, potentially, set your goals. Write them down. Be a role model to your sphere of influence. Treat everybody around you with respect and treat them the way you want to be treated. When you step on that path, especially the paths you choose to go on in the new year of 2019, more than ever, be the best you can be, because that is what winning is all about, as long as you always do and be the best you can be. Thank you all for listening. Everybody all over the world, I can't thank you enough. Much love to everybody. Happy holidays. Buffer out. Till 2019.
It's Time with Bruce Buffer is a TJ DeSantis production and is property of Buffer Enterprises Incorporated. Its content is intended for private use only.
Total Wine & More announces points with a purpose. Now through September 13th, collect 5x points on wines and spirits. Points earned equals a matching donation to local charities. Up to $2 million in total. Shop with us today or visit TotalWine.com. Terms and conditions apply.
The world has changed. And Microsoft Teams is there to help us stay connected. Teams is the safe and secure way to chat, meet, call, and collaborate. To learn more, visit Microsoft.com/Teams.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.